Thank you for the opportunity to share the word today with you guys. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 to 13. Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 to 13. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide your heart, our hearts to you. We're not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children. Open wide your heart also. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you so much for this time. Thank you for the opportunity to just come together and worship you and be in your presence and fellowship with one another. And now we just come before your word. I pray that you will come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us. Release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this place. Give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit of God is saying to us today. And God, I humble myself before you. I pray that you will use me to speak your word to your church, God. I pray that you will come and be with us, Lord, as we have this time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. I have a chair behind me because last Saturday I was playing basketball and I attempted to do a very simple move, basically to turn around with the ball. And I did a misstep with my foot and I sprained my ankle. And it was such a lame way to sprain my ankle, but I did, and it's actually quite painful at times. So I might sit down from time to time. Okay, so today I have the privilege of sharing with you a message on sonship, but in the context of the church. Sonship in the context of a local church, coming from the perspective of a son, right? A son of the house, a son to Pastor Sam. Today, when we read in the passage, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 11 to 13, Paul is speaking to the Corinthian church, and he's saying, guys, open your heart to me, right? Don't close up your heart. Open your heart to me. I want to talk to you. I want to have a relationship with you. I'm not withholding my affections from you. And he says at the end, as a fair exchange, I speak as to my children. Open wide your heart also. So Paul saw the Corinthian church as his children. He treated them as his children with the same kind of love and the heart of a father. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he says to the Corinthian church, I became your father through the gospel. So there's definitely a sense in which Paul used this idea of sonship to talk about his relationship with the church in the Corinthian church. So we want to kind of explore the idea of sonship within a local church. What is sonship within the church? First of all, I want to define what we are not saying. As a church, we talk about sonship. We've been talking about sonship for a few weeks. What we are not saying in terms of sonship in the church is this. P. Sam is not my dad. And I am not P. Sam's son. Right? P. Sam is not your dad, and you're not P. Sam's children. P. Sam has four children. Elise, Emma, Hannah, and Andrew. And that's his kids. That's his family. So we're not approaching this topic in that way. What we're saying is in this relationship, obviously a church is made up of human beings. There's relationships between people. As people, as members of the church, we're going to approach this relationship with the heart of a son. We're going to approach it with the heart of a son that loves the Father, that honors the Father, that submits to the Father. And the leaders of the church, P. Sam, myself, other house church leaders, other pastors, we're going to approach that relationship with the heart of a father. Not saying, I am your father, right? That's not what we're saying. We're saying, we're going to come into this thing with that heart of love and care and encouragement and a desire to speak life to the church. There are certain denominations, certain groups within the global church that can simply take this idea of spiritual fatherhood too far. I don't know if you've come across this kind of language, but sometimes people will look to a pastor and say, oh, that's my dad. Or sometimes people will look to the pastor's wife, that's my mom, that's my mama. You know, and they say, Papa Sam or Papa Hyunsu, you know, like, oh, that's my spiritual, he's my spiritual dad, he's my papa, you know. And there's this idea of this unhealthy emphasis on how you just need to have some earthly figure in your life that's going to be your father figure. You know, that's going, they're going to speak identity to you, they're going to speak destiny to you, and they're going to be the one to set you on the path. They're going to be the one to meet those longings in your heart that you have for a relationship with the Father. And I think that's unhealthy. Those things must come from Father God. Right? Those things are Father God in heaven. He is our perfect Father, our true Father. He is the real Father. And so we get all of that needs, all of those insecurities and all the father hunger, we have that met through Father God. And so it's just about having the heart of a son and having the heart of a father in the relationship, right? Approaching this thing with the heart of a father. I want to briefly share with you my journey of developing the heart of a son and maintaining the heart of a son. And I want to say this before I begin. How many of you have been at SP longer than 10 years? GA, Heran, of course, yeah. Some of you maybe longer than 5 years? Okay. Wow, so a lot of you less than 5 years. Some people, oh, great, okay. Yeah, I want to say this, you know, I would say almost everything that I know and that I am as a pastor and as a minister, I have received it from Pastor Sam, right? Everything that I know about ministry, that was a while ago, we were in Beijing, and we were, me, Pastor Andrew, Pastor Kenny, Pastor Ricky, we went to Beijing at our church plant retreat there, and we took turns preaching, right? That's when Pastor Hyunsu had gone, and he was a pastor of that church, and he had a retreat, and he just felt like the Holy Spirit wanted the junior pastors to come and take turns preaching. And so we all took turns preaching, and by the grace of God, we did a good job. So somebody, an elderly person at the church, came up to us and said, wow, you guys are so young, and you all preach such a good message, right? How did you learn how to do this? And all of us, all we could say was, well, we just learned from our pastor, right? We're trying to do what our pastor is doing. And so everything that I've learned and everything that I am, it comes from Pastor Sam. And I just thought maybe you could think, you know, take a little thought exercise. You can close your eyes. Can you imagine if, I don't know how you found SP, but for me, I came to Hong Kong when I was 22 years old, after my studies. I grew up in Hong Kong, went away, and came back in 2004. And imagine what your life would be like now if there was no SP. Right? If there was no SP and you didn't have this church, I'm not saying that our church is super awesome or anything, but it is kind of awesome, right? It's a vibrant community. We enjoy each other. We worship. We encounter God. Imagine what life would be like if you didn't have SP. And I think about that sometimes. I think, man, if I had come to Hong Kong, 22 years old, my faith was there, but not that strong, and there was no SP, what would I have done? Where would I have gone? Maybe I would have attended a Korean church, because that's where my parents were attending. And whenever I think about it, I think, oh man, I don't have good thoughts. You know, I just think, oh man, I think I would have been lost. You know, and my dad also, he's so thankful. I just talked to him last night, and he said, man, I'm so thankful that Pastor Sam came right when you were coming back to Hong Kong. I mean, my dad thinks the world revolves around me. So he says, right when you were coming to Hong Kong, God sent P. Sam to Hong Kong to start a church for you so that you can attend the church and grow and have this vibrant relationship with God. And I think it's true. You know, for many of us, I think because your life has been changed through Solomon's Porch and through this place, through this ministry, through the retreats, the conferences and whatnot. And when we talk about how much we have benefited from SP, we can't separate SP from Pastor Sam, right? Everything that we have benefited, and Lisa, who's sitting over there, everything that we have benefited and received from SP, it goes back to Pastor Sam and Lisa. They came back in 2003 when this church was just pea-sized church, you know, 10 people. And they heard the voice of God and they came and they started this ministry. So I want to make sure that we have a heart to honor Pastor Sam. Because today I'm going to share with you kind of my struggles. I'm going to share with you my struggles that I had in coming into Sonship. So I'm going to talk about some of the struggles that I've had with PSAM, but I don't want us to get away from it too much and just think about, okay, all the different faults of Pastor Sam, but we want to make sure that we honor and we recognize, man, the benefits of Sonship, the benefits of coming into this church and receiving all the good things that PSAM and Lisa have brought to the church. Amen? When I first came to SP, it was 2004, and looking back, I think I was just a young boy. I was 22 years old, a young boy coming to Hong Kong after college, after YWAM, DTS, and SP was a small church back then, maybe about 50 people, and I was immediately drawn to this community and drawn to Pastor Sam's teaching, drawn to his revelation and his strong leadership. I just began to get involved. You know, I began to get involved serving wherever there was a need, and I really had a deep love for SP. This was my first home church. Even though I grew up a Christian my whole life, when I was younger, I attended my parents' church. I never identified myself as that was my home church. And then when I was in college, only 4 years, I went to two different churches for 2 years, too short of a time to really feel like this is my home church. And then I come to SP and I just felt like I was home, you know, and I could relate to people and we loved each other. Back in 2004, 2005, 2006, we were a small church and so we would have service at 2 p.m., right? Imagine that, right? So we could all sleep in, all young people, all playing, working young people, and then we wake up late and come to church at 2 p.m. and we have service together, and then almost every week, we would play board games together after church, and we would just hang out all day. We would go out for dinner and just spend a lot of time together. And I love being a part of this church. It was awesome. In 2009, when I was 26 years old, I began working here as a youth pastor full-time. In 2009 is when I started working here full-time. I had been working part-time at SP for about a year and a half as a youth pastor, and then I became a full-time pastor, which brought me to an even closer relationship with Pastor Sam. But by 2010, next year, I decided. In 2010, in my heart, I had decided, you know what? SP is not for me. I just decided, you know what? I don't think I can stay here anymore. I think I need to go find another church I need to go find my own calling or find my own ministry. And isn't that interesting? I was having such a great time, but 6 years into my time at SP, I felt like I needed to move on. Why? The reason I gave to myself and to other people was that I just felt like I was too different from Pastor Sam. I felt like, you know what? Pastor Sam is different from me. He's whatever. He's just different, you know? I mean, if you know me, if you know us, you would agree. We're different in our personality, in our approaches, in a lot of different ways. We're very different. And so I just felt like, you know what? I don't think I belong in this place. You know, I need to go find my own tribe. That wasn't, nobody said tribe back then, so that wasn't my language at the time, but my thought process was, I need to find my own tribe, you know, I need to find a group of people that I can connect with, that I can relate to, and I'm going to blossom there, you know, I'm going to find my own calling, find my own identity. I was so far into that mindset that actually in 2010 I went to Korea and I applied. No, I didn't apply, but I visited a seminary and I decided in my heart, you know what, I'm going to come back to Korea, the motherland, because I'm Korean, right? So I'm going to come back to the motherland, I'm going to learn my culture, I'm going to study for 3 years, get my MDiv, and then start my ministry somewhere else. I remember telling Lisa, and Lisa was shocked. I told Pastor Sam, I told some of my friends, and it says something about Pastor Sam that when I told him, he was okay with it. He wasn't like, you can't go or whatever. He was like, oh man, if that's what God calls you to do, you gotta go. So, okay, so that's where I was at. When I look back now, looking back at where I was now, I think what had happened was deep down in my heart, I was hoping for that unhealthy kind of spiritual father, spiritual son relationship with PSAM, right? Because of all my father hunger issues, insecurities, and whatnot, I was hoping to get these needs met through a man, you know, through an earthly leader, and I was putting all sorts of unhealthy, unrealistic expectations upon PSAM. And when those expectations were not met, which really, that's not his fault. It's just an impossible expectation that I was putting on him. When those things were not met, my heart grew bitter. And I got disappointed and I got hurt. And so in my heart, I was like, I'm done with this place, you know? So 2010, I told everybody. That's what I told people. I checked my emails in 2010. At the end of 2010, I had written in an email to an old friend, and she was wondering what I was doing with my life, and I said, I'm working here at this Hong Kong church, but I'm going to go to Korea next year, you know? I have one more year at this place, and then I'm going to go. So that's kind of where my heart was at. And then it's 2011, beginning of 2011. PSAM is going on a ministry trip to Seattle. He's been invited to speak at this conference. And I was invited to go as well because the church needed a worship leader. They didn't have a lot of people on the worship team, so they wanted somebody that could play the guitar and sing. So I said, okay, I'll come. And then GA was there, actually, and another friend, May, came with us to this conference. And what was the topic at the conference? Sonship. Right? So PSAM begins to speak about sonship. You know, it's a powerful message because it's an Asian American setting. Imagine all these second generational Asian Americans have a horrible relationship with their parents because of, you know, communication barrier, culture barrier, and all the pressure that they felt, you know, immigrant life. So it's a powerful message about kind of honoring the parents and bringing healing your heart, and great time. But I remember sitting at the conference, I don't remember what night it was, but he was preaching the message that he shared with us just a few weeks ago, the heart of a son. And a true son lays down the vision of, lays down his own vision to serve the vision of his father. A true son stays no matter what. A true son looks for opportunities to serve. A true son covers the nakedness of his father. And just imagine you're me, you know. In my heart, I'm bitter. And I don't want to be there anymore. I don't want to be with PSAM anymore at that time. And then I'm sitting here and I'm listening to the message, and PSAM's first point is a true son lays down his vision for the vision of his father. My whole thing was I wanted to discover my vision. I wanted to find my calling. And so already I'm like, I don't like this message. And I'm sitting there. And I had my phone, my first iPhone on me, and I had opened my notes app, and I was furiously writing it. Throughout the whole message, I was furiously writing and saying, what? No, thank you. That's not what I want to do. And then the second point, a true son stays no matter what. And I was like, no, God, I thought we were okay with this. I thought, I prayed about it, God. You said it's okay for me to go. What are you saying here? And the third point and the fourth point, and I'm having this inner dialogue with God. And I must have asked God, you know, God, what are you saying? Are you saying that I need to stay at SP? Are you saying that I need to serve Pastor Sam as my spiritual father? And really, back at the time, my heart was in a bad place Even so, to the point of saying, I don't like Pastor Sam. Like, I don't think we get along. I think we're so different. I'm scared of Pastor Sam, you know? All these things are coming out of me, and I'm saying, I don't know if I can do this, God. And this is what I felt the Holy Spirit say to me. He said, Nate, if you want to go to Korea and you want to go to the seminary, you can go. I will bless you. I will be with you. I'll walk with you. I'll love you no matter what. Right? That's great. Thank you, Lord. But then he goes on and says, but I want to ask you, would you stay and serve Pastor Sam as your spiritual father? Isn't God amazing the way he talks to us? He knows exactly how to talk to us. Right? If God had come to me, and he has every right to do this, if God had come to me and said, Nate, shut up. I want you to stay. Serve Pastor Sam as your spiritual father and do it. That, I mean, I have to do it. What am I going to do? I'm a servant of God. I need to obey. And he has every right to do it, but he's so gentle with us, right? And he says, hey, if you go, I will bless you. I'll be with you. But would you stay and serve PSAM as your spiritual father? And at that point, I mean, what are you going to say to God, you know? So I said, okay, okay, fine. I'll do it. But I'm not happy. You know, I had all these things going on in my heart. And then I felt the Father say to me, all those things that you're looking for, you know, all the father hunger that you know, all the whatever expectation you have from a man, you know, to cover you with his arms or to give you approval and to shower you with encouragement and love and all the things that you might typically want from like this ideal father figure, God was saying, Nate, I'm your perfect father. I'm going to be the one that gives you your identity. I'm going to be the one that gives you your destiny. I'm going to be the one that secures you and that approves of you and speak life into you. And I'm the perfect father. You know, I'm the perfect father. I have the perfect love. And therefore, because you have a perfect father in me, you can serve an imperfect spiritual father, you know, a man here on earth. You can serve an imperfect man because all of those desires, longings that you have is going to be met in me. And, you know, that really changed me. That conference and God saying that to me, I said, fine, I'm free. I don't have to find it in PSAM. I may be disappointed in PSAM from time to time, but that's okay. I can't expect him to be the perfect father, you know, to lead with the perfect heart of a father. That's impossible. I'm going to get that from you, God. And that had my heart changed in 2011, and I came back, and then I told Pastor Sam, I told Lisa, I told my friends, I'm going to stay. I changed my mind. I felt like God was speaking to me. And so laid aside towards Trinity Seminary, and I can happily say from 2011 until now, it's 9 years, I've never had this kind of an experience since then, where I really, in my heart, I was like, I just got to get out of this place. You know, of course, there are times when we struggle. There are times when I feel whatever, disappointed, and in my heart I say, oh, maybe it's just time for me to go. Or I, you know, daydream and think about, oh, what would it be like if I were to go somewhere else? Those times exist, but not to this point of, like, making a decision in my heart to go. And I think it's the grace of God. God put a heart of sonship in me. You know, God put a heart of sonship in me. And I've been able to maintain it. So I want to make sure that you understand this. As we talk about sonship in the context of a church, your trust cannot be in Pastor Sam. When we say, Pastor Sam, you are the father of this house, I'm going to serve you with that heart of a son, you know. Well, if your trust is, P. Sam, I'm going to serve you with the heart of a son because you are this and this and this kind of a father and I trust you, I think you're going to be disappointed. It's impossible to put your trust in a man and not be disappointed. And so my trust is in God. I'm saying, God, you're the one that have called me to be in this place. You called me to serve Pastor Sam and to be in this church and to really do everything I can to serve and build this church. And I trust you to be the perfect father, right? I trust you. My trust is not in Pastor Sam. My trust is in God the Father who has called me here, and I'm going to be obedient to him. I know that if I lay down my own vision or my own opinions, my own thoughts on how things should be done to serve Pastor Sam, and I stay no matter what, and I look for ways to serve him, and I cover his nakedness, that God's going to take care of me. You know, when I was a little younger, in my 20s, I'm 38 now, when I was in my 20s, a little bit younger than I am now, you know, the big talk at the time was, you got to find your calling, right? You got to find out what has God created you to do. And your greatest, deepest desire, meeting the world's deepest need, that's the place of your calling. So you got to go and discover it. And all the people I talked to were saying the same kind of thing. Don't stay there if you don't like it. Find something that you're called to do. Find the calling for you. And you know, really, when I came under this heart of sonship, this calling from God, it was like God was saying, if you lay that down, if you lay down the pursuit of your own calling, the pursuit of your own ministry or your vision, your own fulfillment, and you serve Pastor Sam, in my case, and serve Pastor Sam, I'll take care of it. God's saying, I'll take care of it. And I've let it go. And I think I'm much happier doing it this way than, I don't know, wandering through life trying to find, what is my calling? This is not fully satisfying to me, and I'm going to find something else. You know, sometimes I think, what if I had gone to Korea and done all that? I wonder where I would be. I think I would have served at different leaders, but I think I would have come up with the same issues because the issue of that orphan heart wasn't dealt with, and I was merely looking for it in another leader that I felt more comfortable with. Okay, so I want to talk to you about four practices. I want to share with you four practices, practical things that you can do to maintain the heart of sonship. And this is for you if you're part of SP and you know that this is your church and God has called you to this church to carry that heart of sonship with P. Sam and the leaders here. This is for you. It applies to you. But if that's not you and you're not sure, you're visiting us for the first time or you belong to another church, I would say the same thing to you in the context of your church and say, you do this for your pastor. Okay, so these are four practices that I think I must do to be a son at SP and to be a son to P. Sam. And four things that I want to encourage you to do. First is love. Love. What does it mean to carry the heart of a son? What does it mean to approach my relationship with P. Sam with the heart of a son? It means I strive to keep a love in my heart for Pastor Sam, to love him. Not just obey him, not just serve him, not just do the things that he calls me to do, but to actually love him, you know, to enjoy his presence and to love and to have a relationship, to pursue a relationship with him. The passage that we read today, 2 Corinthians 6, let's go back to that. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 11 to 13. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children. Open wide your heart also. That's what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, man, I'm giving you my affection. Where's your affection for me? Open your heart to me also. And I'm saying, guys, we need to pursue a relationship with Pastor Sam. If you are sitting there and you just feel like, I don't really know P. Sam, how can he be my father? You know, what does it mean? I don't even know, you know? How can I be a son in this house? I don't even know P. Sam. But you haven't done anything to pursue a relationship with him. Then I want to say, do that first. You know, set up a meeting with him or join the EG class or do something to build a relationship with P. Sam. I was really challenged by a good friend of mine, Pastor Hyun Soo. And I was talking to him. I was going through some stuff and maybe feeling a little bit disgruntled, you know, feeling a little bit disappointed. And Pastor Hyunsu was saying to me, Nate, like, when's the last time you just hung out with Pastor Sam, like you took him out to lunch? And my answer was, never. I sometimes we think, oh, why does PSAM take me for granted? You know, he just thinks I'll always be there to serve. But the flip side is, why do I take him for granted? I always just expect him to be there, to be the faithful leader of this church, to do all these things that he's doing for the church. And I just expect that from him, and I take it for granted. And so love, pursue relationship, don't take it for granted, and to show appreciation, to show affection, you know? I know PSAM is not a words of a affirmation. He says that, right? But that doesn't matter. If you're a words of affirmation person, show affection to him in that way, you know? Anyway, I want to tell you a story. You know, sometimes it's hard. This relationship that I have with Pastor Sam, sometimes it can be quite hard, naturally, because it's a human-to-human relationship, and we are different in many aspects. But I think another reason why it's so hard is because the enemy really, I think, is working overtime to break this relationship. Can you imagine the damage that will happen if I'm the executive pastor, the number two person in this church, and my relationship with Pastor Sam gets damaged? Then it's going to be really poor, right? I mean, there could be a lot of damage in the church and whatnot. And so I think the enemy loves to make it hard for me to love Pastor Sam. Just putting in thoughts, negative thoughts, making assumptions, false assumptions, and all the wrong things that I can do to make it hard for me to love Pastor Sam. And so I was going through one of those moments where I was kind of feeling a little distant from him, keeping my heart closed from him, yet doing all the right things and saying all the right things because that was my job. And I want to be a son and I want to do a good job. And I was in that place and I was listening to a message by a pastor called Jack Deere, who I really recommend to you, Jack Deere. And he was sharing a message that he was at this conference. It was like this conference about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. One camp doesn't believe the present-day ministry of the Holy Spirit. This camp believes in the present-day ministry of the Holy Spirit. He's on this camp, and these guys are really against them. And another person that he was talking to was saying some bad things about this group, right, the non-charismatics. And Jack Deere was saying to him, we can't think like that. You know, we have to honor everybody. We're all brothers in Jesus Christ, and we need to keep our unity. And after he said that, Jack Deere says, I felt pretty good about myself, right? Because I was maintaining unity. I was the good guy. I was even keel, you know, I was trying to keep the unity of the church and whatnot. And then I think that night, someone from his church gives him a call. And she says to him, you know, Pastor, I was praying, and I just felt like God gave me a word to share with you. I don't know what this word means, but I'm going to share it with you. And she says to him, beware of cold love. She has no idea what that means, and so she just hangs up. But Pastor Jack knows exactly what God is saying through that. What God was saying was, you have cold love for that camp. You are saying the right things, and you're doing the right things to maintain this appearance of church unity, but in your heart of hearts, you don't love them, you disdain them. And you think less of them. And you think you are better than them because you know the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so he was saying, beware of cold love. And when I was listening to that, Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Nate, beware of cold love toward Pastor Sam. You're doing all the right things. You're faithful and you are obeying the things that he's asking you to do. But in your heart, you're cold. And so I had to really repent and pursue a relationship with him to get that back, to gain that back. Number two, that's first is love. Love the leader. You know, it could be your house church leader. It could be another pastor at the church. It could be Pastor Sam, but love. Number two, guard a teachable heart. Guarding a teachable heart. Let's turn to Proverbs 13, verse 1. A wise son accepts his father's discipline. Other translations will say instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. A wise son accepts his father's discipline, his father's instruction. A scoffer does not listen to rebuke. What does it mean to have the heart of a son in the church that God has called you to? It means you guard a teachable heart. It means when Pastor Sam is preaching, I think I can see this in two aspects. First is sermons. As he's preaching from the pulpit on Sundays, we need to maintain a teachable heart, especially if you've been here for a long time, right? It's inevitable. Every leader will share the same stories. Even the story that I shared with you, I've shared with you guys before. But some of you are new, so you haven't heard it. But maybe some of you are saying, I've heard this story before. Lame, you know? Why do I need to hear this again? And sometimes over the years, as you hear the same message, the same stories over and over again, you know that term, familiarity breeds contempt. You start to disdain and you start to think, oh, I already know this stuff. I need fresh revelation from the Holy Spirit. You know, if I'm going to grow, I need to seek out fresh revelation. And we sometimes can think like that, and I want to encourage you, no. Maintain a teachable heart inside to your local church pastor, right? Let's think about this. If God has called you to this church, and God loves you, and God wants to bring breakthrough in your life, and God wants to bring victory in your life, God wants to bring healing in your life, and He wants to grow you and mature you, but He has brought you to this church, then why would it be that He's brought you to this church to sit under this teaching out of His great wisdom, perfect plan? He's brought you to this church. All His desire is for you to grow and have breakthrough and have victory. Yet why would it be that He brings you this church, but your breakthrough is going to be found in the teaching of Bill Johnson or Tim Keller or whoever else that we turn to sometimes? I mean, that doesn't make sense. If God has brought you to this church and His desire is for you to grow and learn and have breakthrough and have victory, He probably wants to speak to you through your pastor. And your job is to maintain, to guard that teachable heart and say, even if I've heard this before, I'm going to listen to it again with fresh ears. I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to me through this again. The second aspect of guarding a teachable heart is rebukes, right? It says, wise son accepts his father's discipline. A scoffer does not listen to rebuke. When your leader points something out in your life, receive it. P. Sam is actually quite good at rebuking, right? You guys know this. P. Sam is quite good at rebuking. But, you know, I was thinking about this. It's actually very, very rare in churches to have a pastor that is quite good at rebuking. Most pastors are too afraid to do that. Most pastors are too people-pleasing to be able to bring a rebuke to the congregation, either as a whole or to individuals. People shun away from it because they want to preserve, you know, they want to make sure that people like them, you know. But Pastor Sam is able to bring that rebuke. And I think it's a unique blessing in SP that we have a pastor that is not afraid to bring rebuke. But I want to say this. Often, it's very easy to miss the substance, the good of the rebuke because of the delivery, right? Because of the delivery. Because the delivery wasn't the way you wanted it to be, right? So whether it's right or wrong, PSM delivers it a certain way. He's not the most carefully worded person when he brings a rebuke. Sometimes maybe it's offensive or whatnot, but the delivery, because we get so fixated on the delivery, we just miss all the teaching and the correction and the rebuke that it comes with. I want to tell you a story. I was at Fortress the other day because I wanted to buy a camera, and I've been doing a lot of research on this camera, and I had gone to all these different stores, running around trying to find the best price. And visited a few stores. I went into this Fortress, and sometimes customer service in Hong Kong can be so just not great, you know? So I go into this store, and this guy is on the phone, and he's not even giving me a look. So I try to get his attention, and I finally get his attention. He is so bothered that I have inconvenienced him, right, to ask him a question. So he looks at me with this just like disgust, you know? And I'm like, oh, I'm looking for this camera. And I think he rolled his eyes at me. And he was like, what model are you looking for? What color? And so I was this close to just saying something rude, you know? I don't like you. You're not good. And leaving, I would have said something much worse than that. But, you know, bah, and leaving. But, you know, I wanted to get a good deal. So I wanted to know what the price was. I let him know the model number. And actually the price he quoted me was like $1,000 cheaper than all the other stores. And so what did I do? Even though his customer service was very poor, I said, oh, can I have your name card, please? I'll contact you. That's a good price, right? So the substance was what mattered. The delivery wasn't the most important thing. And sometimes the rebuke may come and the delivery might not be the way you want it to be, right? The delivery, it's not wrong. It's just not the way we want it in our culture, you know, I want to be affirmed 10 times and then rebuked one time, you know. I want to be affirmed this much and then rebuked and then affirmed again, you know. That's kind of how we think we have to do things, but that's not necessarily correct either. But sometimes he brings a rebuke and he's very direct, he's very straight up, and instead of getting offended at that, like, how can you talk to me that way? Whatever. You need to humble yourself and receive. And I can tell you, I've had many, many, many times like that with Pastor Sam where I'm offended because of the way he's talking to me. Not that he's wrong, but sometimes it's just different. Again, it's different. He's different from me. And I get offended, but when I take a step back and I think about it, I go, man, there's so much truth to it. Or I don't even like it, but because I have to, I do it the way he wants me to do it. And then realization hits and go, oh man, that's why this way of doing it is so much better. So, yeah, you know, I want to say every time I'm corrected, my gut reaction is, I mean, all of us are like that. I don't like it, you know. Who do you think you are? That's our gut reaction. But every time I have been corrected by Pastor Sam, I mean, I don't know if it's an exaggeration, but I feel like every time, every rebuke, every correction I've received, it actually, the substance has been very helpful. That's been very good. So that's guarding a teachable heart, right? Both in his sermons and in his rebuke. And it could be another leader. Maybe your house church leader has rebuked you and you're just offended. Take care of that offense. And that's what I'm dealing with. The third point, forgiveness. Forgiveness. Proverbs 17, verse 9. Whoever would foster love covers over an offense. But whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. Sometimes, PSAM will make mistakes. Right? Sometimes PSAM will say things that's actually maybe done in a wrong way. Right? That could happen because he's just a man. What are you going to do in those moments? Right? Let's say your offense is actually not a wrong offense, meaning he hasn't done anything wrong, but you just took it the wrong way and you're just offended, but you're actually rightly offended. He's actually done something. And if you haven't experienced P. Sam's mistakes or failure, I'm sure as you stay at SP, you will experience it. I mean, that's natural of any human leader. Right? And so you're going to experience it. What are you going to do at that time? Having the heart of a son, pursuing the heart of a son means you choose forgiveness in those moments. You know, I had a time, long time ago, I don't remember what the incident was, you know, I can't remember the details, but I just had this heart, you know, I was upset about PSAM for something, you know, who knows what was going on at the time in my heart. I mean, I had so many issues too. And I was talking to my brother Matt. So this is a long time ago because we were living together. I remember we were at home and I was talking to Matt about this thing that was going on, and Matt, it's just so wise and so helpful. He just said, hey, Nate, that's okay. I think in that instance, PSAM have wronged you in certain ways. So you can acknowledge that. You can say, PSAM has hurt me in this way. And in this thing that he has done, that wasn't correct. But what are you going to do about it? You need to forgive. You need to let it go. And so it's very helpful. You know, I sat down and I specifically, you know, I specified before God, God, I think this and this was said or whatever. I mean, I don't really remember. This and this was said, or he did this and that offended me or that hurt me. And I think that was actually wrong. And you ask God, and God seems to say, that's fine. I mean, you are genuinely offended, and PSAM may have been wrong. Then you say, God, but I forgive him anyway. You know, I forgive, I let it go. God, I forgive him. I love him. He's my pastor. I'm going to serve him with the heart of a son. I mean, I didn't use that language, but that was the heart behind it. I let it go. And then the bitterness and the offense lifts. You know, I think it's important to recognize that sometimes, yeah, PSAM will do things that are wrong. I mean, it will happen inevitably, sadly, right? But that's a human leader. Any leader that you serve, you know, whoever is on your pedestal of pastors, you know, whether it's John Piper or whatever, you know, Eugene Peterson, or whoever you have as your, oh, he's such a great pastor, I'm sure the closer you get to him, the more you're going to see his flaws, right? Actual flaws. And it's important to recognize them as flaws and then say, God, but I love this man anyway. You know, I forgive these flaws. I was thinking about it. You know, sometimes, you know, you see a photo from a distance and the photo can look really beautiful, right? And if it's really from a distance. But as you get closer and closer and closer, you start to see it's kind of pixelated. You know, it's kind of a bad quality printing. And you see the flaws. I think that's exactly what happens to a human leader in a human relationship. The further away you are, you just came to SP, you just started learning these things, you might think, wow, PSAM, amazing, what an amazing leader, amazing revelation. But the closer you get, the closer you get, the closer you get, the more you see, actually, there's some pixelation there and there's some flaws there. What are you going to do in those moments? And I want to encourage you, choose forgiveness, right? Especially if you've personally, you feel like you've personally been offended in some way, you choose forgiveness. You maintain a heart of love. You maintain a heart of loyalty. And the last point, number four, is honor. 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 You choose to honor your leader, right? You choose to honor. Honor to me is looking for ways to give him credit, right? Looking for ways to give him credit and say, you know what? Really, everything that I have learned, everything that I know about ministry, it comes from Pastor Sam. You look back at your journey and you go, man, I have been so blessed, transformed, changed by this teaching and by this ministry. That really came true for me. I was doing a worship team training about 2 months ago. And, you know, I have a few things that I always say to my worship team, just maintaining this heart, this pure heart of worship, you know, maintaining this pure heart of worship. It's not, you're not a rock star, you know, you're not performing. Our first job, number one job is to worship God and to please God and to bring pleasure to God. And you know what? This whole time that I've been serving on the worship team as a worship leader, I thought that I got that revelation on my own. I thought that was my revelation, and I thought, wow, what a great, pure heart of worship the Lord has given to me, you know? Praise God, I have this great revelation. And then for this worship team training, I had invited PSAM to speak. And you know what PSAM spoke on? The exact same thing. The exact same thing that I have been preaching. I feel like that was what PSAM gave, and I just realized, I had a moment of realization, wow. Everything that I thought I had gotten on my own, it actually is just coming from Pastor Sam. I must have heard that teaching somewhere along the line, and I grabbed it, and I liked it, and then it's been so long that I think it's my own, right? And we got to, you know, give credit where it's due. So I think that's part of honoring. One example of honoring that I want to share with you is King David. Do you have that passage, Bright? 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 19 through 24? Yeah, there we go. So, you know, David was a loyal servant to King Saul, right? David, even though Saul wasn't a good father, David was a good son, right? Saul didn't lead with the heart of a father. But David, didn't matter. David served King Saul with the heart of a son. And even in Saul's death, David honors Saul. This is what he says. 2 Samuel 2:19-24. I've put little parts here and there. Your beauty, O Israel, is slain on your high places. This is when King Saul has, he just finds out about Saul's death, and he says, your beauty is slain on your high places. How the mighty have fallen. Saul and Jonathan, beloved and pleasant in their life. Imagine, Saul tried to kill David two times, actually many times. He was pursuing after him, and he says, Saul and Jonathan were beloved and pleasant in their life, and in their death, they were not parted. They were swifter than eagles. They were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothes you luxuriously in scarlet, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. You know, what's interesting is when you read the book of Psalms, King David also has many psalms of victory, where he sings songs like, man, God has delivered me from evil. God has delivered me from the enemy. And David could easily have sung a song like that at this time, right? Because Saul was pursuing, actively pursuing, trying to kill David. And David could have said, man, King Saul died? God delivered me. Praise the Lord. He is a good God. But he doesn't do that. He says, oh, how the mighty have fallen. Let's mourn. Let's weep. We have lost something precious. I just love that. You know, David just maintains this heart of honor, even with a leader that that was actually unsafe for him. And, you know, I just think, man, we have to be very, very careful not to badmouth Pastor Sam, you know? Sometimes you feel wrong, you know? He may not have done anything wrong, but you feel wrong. Maybe he did do something wrong and you feel wrong. And the temptation is to badmouth and kind of whisper and say, man, can you believe he said that? Or can you believe what he did to me the other day? Or whatever. You bring something up or whatever, and this kind of gossip, slandering can start within the church. And I want to say, hey, let's put a guard over our heart to make sure that we do not badmouth our leader. Could be Pastor Sam, could be me, could be another pastor, could be another leader in your church, in your house church. You know, David had two opportunities to kill Saul. Remember, when Saul was pursuing David, God gives David two opportunities to kill Saul. And each of those opportunities, David says, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And I can guarantee you, in the church, any church you go to, you're going to be given lots and lots of opportunities to backstab your leader. Right? Somebody somewhere is going to say, dude, man, that was really bad, or that was really harsh, or I feel really hurt. And someone's going to open up a door of opportunity. What are you going to do? Are you going to step in and say, yeah, that was messed up? Or are you going to say, like my brother did? You know, basically, I had opened an opportunity for my brother to join me in bad-mouthing Pastor Sam, but my brother led me to the place of forgiveness so I could land on forgiveness instead of bitterness or bad-mouthing or dishonoring. So I think those four practices, you know, love, maintaining that love, pursuing a relationship, making sure that you don't have a cold love in your heart, I think is key. Guarding that teachable heart, whether it's through the sermon or through a rebuke or a correction, you guard it. You're responsible for how you're going to respond to a rebuke or a teaching. And forgiveness for those times when you do feel like you're actually wrong. And lastly, honor. Honoring your leader, honoring your pastor. I want to encourage you with that. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. Let's close our eyes. Let's invite the Holy Spirit to come and speak to us. Just ask yourself, do I have the heart of a son in this church? Do I have some of these struggles that Pastor Nate has been talking about, where I feel a little disappointed, I feel a little hurt? Where is that coming from? Do I have an offense in my heart? Is it legitimate? Is it just me, or did PCM actually do something? You might have those thoughts. Just ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you and dialogue with Him. As I was praying and preparing for this message, I felt like, why do we talk about the heart of a son, the heart of sonship, maintaining the heart of a son? I think first and foremost, because that pleases God, right? Well, how do you characterize a son? Loyal, faithful, committed, honoring the other person. All those are qualities that God is very, very pleased with. What's the opposite of that? Disloyal, unfaithful, backstabbing, dishonoring. Man, God is not pleased. We can see it's very clear in Scripture. God is not happy when we walk with that kind of an attitude. So I think first and foremost, it pleases God when we maintain a heart of sonship in any kind of relationship that you're in, where you stay humble and you seek with all your heart to honor your leader and to cover your leader and to love your leader. I think God is pleased with that. And so we begin there. God is pleased with it. And the second thing that I was thinking of, I feel like God spoke to me about, is Jesus says in Matthew 12, verse 25, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and no house divided against itself will stand. If our church is divided against itself, we're not going to stand, you know? I think the heart of sonship, if everybody pursues to maintain a heart of sonship within the church, that will bring great unity in the church, right? Everyone, no one is perfect. And so you extend forgiveness, you extend kindness, and you extend honor, and you choose to honor, and you choose to walk in the heart of sonship, then I think that brings unity to the church, so that the church is not spending its energies putting out fires and infighting, you know, but the church can spend its energies to do the work of God, to build the kingdom of God, and to reach more people, and to experience more breakthrough, and to really accomplish all that God wants to accomplish. So I think there's great benefits that come from pursuing the heart of sonship. So I want to encourage you with that. We're going to sing a song now. This song is called If You Say Go. And I chose this song because I think it's important for us to know that our trust ultimately is in Father God. And if God has called me to stay here, I'm going to stay here with a good attitude, right? If God has called you to stay and you stay here and you're bitter about it, well, you're not really doing your job, right? I'm going to stay here with a good attitude. I'm going to stay here with a good heart. I'm going to stay here and I'm going to pursue the things of God, and I'm going to build this house with my community, with my church. I'm going to maintain a heart of sonship. If God has called me to go, then I'll go. If God has called me to stay, I'll stay. I'm going to follow God. And my trust is in God. And God will never let me down. God will never let me down. And so let's sing this together. Kaylin's going to lead us. If we can stand to our feet, please. Let's sing this and just worship God, make a confession in our hearts to the Lord, and then we'll close. God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are with us. You are the one that leads us and guides us, God. I just pray for each person here. God, if anyone is struggling with the heart of sonship in the church, Lord, would you minister to them? Would you speak to them, God? Be with us as leaders of the church, God, myself, Pastor Sam, other pastors and house church leaders. God, help us to lead and love with the heart of a father well. And I pray, and myself included, as the congregation members, God, that we would be able to serve and obey with the heart of a son well, God, in our church. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray for your grace for us to do that well, God, to maintain a heart of unity, God, to please you, Lord, and to ultimately trust, God, that if I lay down some of the things that maybe I've been offended, or if I lay down my own vision, my own calling, my own desires, and I don't have anything to fear because you are my perfect Father. And if I follow you, you're going to take care of me. So I just pray that you will speak that to the hearts of all our congregation members, God. Thank you, Lord. Can we just bless us? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. God, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are with us. You are the one that leads us and guides us, God. I just pray for each person here. God, if anyone is struggling with the heart of sonship in the church, Lord, would you minister to them? Would you speak to them, God? Be with us as leaders of the church, God, myself, Pastor Sam, other pastors and house church leaders. God, help us to lead and love with the heart of a father well. And I pray, and myself included, as the congregation members, God, that we would be able to serve and obey with the heart of a son well, God, in our church. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray for your grace for us to do that well, God, to maintain a heart of unity, God, to please you, Lord, and to ultimately trust, God, that if I lay down some of the things that maybe I've been offended, or if I lay down my own vision, my own calling, my own desires, man, I don't have anything to fear because you are my perfect Father. And if I follow you, you're going to take care of me. So I just pray that you will speak that to the hearts of all our congregation members, God. Thank you, Lord. Can we just bless us? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.